Well, it's good to see each one of you here today. I really didn't expect this many people with the snow and everything else, but hey, you're Albertans, right? And you know how to drive in the snow. So I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you, all the people from our live stream on the internet. That is growing. We had, just a couple of weeks ago, we had 180 people watching on live stream. And so we almost double our congregation. When we add the live stream people in here. So I have, we're talking about gossip today. You know, we're concluding this is the fourth week of our series, and we're talking about gossip. And what I want to say right now, I want to try and form it in a way of gossip, because I know people listen to gossip. If I would say to you, well, I have an announcement to make today, I know what'll happen. It's already in our brains, we sort of click off, you know, so I want to tell you something that nobody else knows, okay? It's a secret. And if you would do me a favor, and when you hear this, please do not tell anyone else, okay? Please don't, okay? Often in the church, that's the sure way to make sure that everybody knows. Please don't tell anybody, and it all goes on and on and on and on. Here's the truth. We have been growing, and I'm thankful for all the people that are here. There are many people here that aren't members of this church just yet. They're waiting to make that type of decision. And there are many people online that consider themselves to be a part of our fellowship. And so here's the thing. People come in week after week, and you know what? There's lots of people that tell me, I don't know that person. Do you know who that person is? What's their name? And so what we want to do is we want to develop a fellowship where we know. Because if we're going to talk about somebody, we should at least know their name, right? So if we're going to do gossip well, we need a photo directory, okay? So I am inviting every single one of you to take part in the photo directory that we're going to be doing, because we want to know everybody that's here. We want to be able to associate a name with a face, okay? So I know a lot of you don't like getting your pictures taken, but please bear with us. It will be relatively painless, and it will be quick, and it is absolutely free. And if you take part in this, you will get it, and I'm gonna title it Gossip Directory, okay? And so when you open it up, you'll say, yeah, that's the one I was talking about right there, that person there, okay? And you'll get a better idea of what I mean by the end of my talk today, because I'm not talking negative gossip, I'm talking positive gossip, okay? This church is going to be a positive gossip church. There's nothing wrong with gossip, provided it's positive, okay? So you can sign up today in the lobby outside for your picture appointment, and what happens is you will get your picture taken, and then you will decide whether you want to buy any. You do not have to buy any. Okay, but your appointment goes right after, and you can decide to purchase something if you want. If you don't want to, there is no pressure. You do not need to. That's, in fact, how they make their money, by selling you photos. Okay, but you don't have to buy it if you don't want. I mean, the last time I did this in a church, I was the first one, and they brought me in brought us in for our appointments, and they showed us the pictures, and they said, would you like any of them? I said, oh, that one's nice, and that one's nice, and that one's nice. Would you like them? No, I don't want it. I don't want to buy it. Do you want to give it to me? No, we don't want to give it to you. Well, I don't want to buy it. I said, but aren't you the pastor? Yes. Don't you want to set an example? Yes. And that's the example I'm setting. You don't have to buy, okay? So I want to guarantee you that is the same example I will set this time around, because I am proudly cheap, okay? So that's long enough for this announcement, gossip announcement. Please bring this piece of paper with you if you got it, because you can write your appointment on the back, okay? So let's gossip a little bit more. Four preachers. They met together week after week, and in order to encourage one another and that sort of thing. And one week they got together, and one of the preachers said, you know what, our people come to us all the time, and they will talk about things that they've done wrong, get it off their chest, you know, and they say it makes them feel better. And so the one preacher said, you know, I think we should do the same thing. I think we should confess a secret that we're keeping or a vice that we do and that sort of stuff. So are you in? And they all said, sure, okay, let's do that. So the first one confessed, and he confessed that he'd like to go to movies that he probably shouldn't go to. The next one confessed, said he'd like to get away and smoke cigars. And another one confessed, and he said, I like to get away and I like to play cards. And so they looked at the fourth one, and he wasn't saying anything. They looked and said, okay, so what is it? What's your secret? What's your vice? What do you want to confess? And he wouldn't say anything. And so they pressed him, and he said, come on, now we confessed ours, you know, about smoking and about going to the movies, about playing cards. What's yours? Come on, we all did it. You have to do it too. And so he said, well, my secret vice is I like to gossip, and I can hardly wait to get out of here. Okay. We all know somebody that gossips. Either it's ourselves or it's somebody else, because truth is, we have all been a part of the gossip game. There is no doubt about that. It's interesting what gossip can do. Abraham Lincoln died in 1865. It was a well-advertised event. He was assassinated. And it was witnessed by thousands and thousands of people, and they lined up in order to go through and witness his body lying there in state. And he went to a number of different cities as well. In fact, by the time it was finished, they said that his body had turned all black and had been sunken in, and it really didn't look like him at all. And so they finally buried him, and oddly enough, even though so many people had witnessed his body in the coffin and the coffin being buried, the rumor started going around that Abraham Lincoln was alive, that he really didn't die. And so 22 years later in 1887, because the rumors were so big, they actually dug his coffin up and opened it up so that people could see that it was him. That's what gossip does. And so it settled down for a while, and they closed it up, and they buried him again. And the rumors picked up again after a couple of years that Abraham Lincoln wasn't really dead. And so, in 1901, they dug him up again, opened up the casket, and people could witness and write down, and the papers were there, and saying, yes, it was Abraham Lincoln, he's in the coffin, and he is dead. And so they closed it up again. You know, because of he was so famous, they actually had to move his coffin 11 times. They've moved it 11 times. It is now buried in concrete. It was so bad about being lifted up and buried and reburied and all that sort of stuff that they actually buried it the last time in concrete. 11 times they moved his coffin, but the strange thing is, 5 of those times, they actually had to open it up so that people could witness that it was actually Abraham Lincoln in the coffin. Why? Because people were saying it wasn't true. And the rumor actually caught on. You know, gossip happens all the time. The question I have is why? And I think we get a good clear answer in the book of Proverbs where it says this: the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. There's something about gossip that we just crave, that we just love. We could be in a very normal conversation and someone will say something like, hey, did you hear about? And immediately the ears and the eyes get all alert, and we go, what? What? And you'll notice when it's gossip, the tones get lower because it's only specific certain people that get to hear the gossip. Then what did he do? And how did that happen? Is it still going on? It's like dainty little morsels, like dessert, that we chew on, and it says goes down and it feeds us. Gossip is just all the time. I've heard someone said that gossip can go around the world and back before truth can get out of bed and put its pants on. The truth is, gossip just flies all over the place. In fact, it's especially true now with social media. I mean, you can put all sorts of things on there and just press the button and you're gone. How many of you have been gossiped about on social media? No? You have never lived. I've been gossiped about on social media, and I'm sort of proud of that. The funny thing about gossip, though, is that every time it's told and retold, it gets different iterations. And the reality or the truth is usually nowhere to be found. I want to show you a little video about a game that a couple of guys were playing. It's called the Whisper Game. And, well, just watch.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mark Millar, and welcome to the Whisper Challenge, made up by a Mr. Joe Suggs. I'm here with Matthias, Wade, and Tyler. They can't hear anything at all.
Hi. Sorry to interrupt, but I explained this miserably. The Whisper Challenge is where the other three participants are listening to very loud music and can't hear what I'm saying. So I read the tweet and then whisper it very quietly to them. They try to read my lips and interpret what I'm saying and then pass that along to the next person like a game of telephone.
Markiplier is a gorgeous man.
All right.
Wait, one more time.
Can't do it again. That's not part of the challenge.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
I'm not here. I can only hear you if you're yelling. So okay. Just whisper. What?
Markiplier is a gorgeous man.
Okay. All right. And we're gonna rotate hilt or kilter here.
Markiplier is a studious man.
Markiplier is tutti frutti.
No, don't say it back.
Don't say it back.
Markiplier is a tutti frutti.
Okay, now he's gonna say what he heard to me.
Markiplier's a fruity tootie.
Not even close, but I already heard that because he said it out loud before. But
I didn't know I was supposed to!
Ooh, you, Wade!
What was the original?
Markiplier is a gorgeous man.
You gotta give us a chance.
There were some T's in there.
I said it perfectly.
Try and read truthful stuff at least.
Yeah.
We can't deal with these lies.
Is it true that cannibals don't eat clowns because they taste funny?
To drool, I don't like cannibals when they're freshly wet.
Move your lips more!
To drool.
I drool on cars. And spill my champagne on my face.
Oh my gosh, so long! Start over! Okay, what I heard was I drool on dogs at the spaceship museum. Check out those feet! What did you say?
I said I drool on cars and then spill champagne on my face.
What was the original?
Is it true that cannibals don't eat clowns because they taste funny?
Okay, and that's what it's like when you start spreading a rumor. Every time it goes down and a little bit more and a little bit more, things get added, things get taken away, because the truth is we all listen with our own types of filters. And it is impossible for us to actually be totally accurate because people hear through their own filters. You know, and it happens even in this talk. I mean, people will go out, and it's been amazing to me that people will go out and they will say, well, the pastor said, nothing. I never said that. But that's what they heard because they listen through their own filters. And so I want to tell you, we need to be very, very careful when it comes to gossip or spreading things. I think by and large, we talk way too much and we listen far too little. And we sometimes, you know, the rumors actually sink deep into a person's heart. And we do a lot of different things in order to deflect it. Have you ever had this? I think we need to pray for Michael and Karen. Why? Well, I don't know. You know, Karen is a nice-looking girl and everything. And, you know, she's the new girl at the office. And Michael has been spending a lot of time with Karen. You know, they've been working overtime together, and they've been talking at the cooler a lot together, and I don't know, but Karen is a little, you know, and Michael, well, actually, I just think we should pray for Michael and Karen because I think they're going through some things, and I really don't think they're doing the work. if you know what I mean. So we really need to lift their marriage up to the Lord. You know, that may sound like a prayer request, but it's gossip. It really is. It's just plain, outright gossip. Even though you try to spiritualize it, it is gossip. I like what it says here. Everything that is said must be true, but not everything that is true must be said. I think that's important. And if you get nothing else, this may be why you're here, is just for that, okay? The question becomes, what do we want to be known for or known as? I mean, as a church and as individuals, what do we want to be known for? Speaking life and encouragement and building someone up or tearing someone down? And I hope everyone here will say, we want to be known as a group, as a body, as individuals, as people that will build people up and not tear them down. You see, gossip can hurt so many people. First, it hurts the person it is spoken about. Proverbs 16:28. Troublemakers start fights. Gossips break up friendships. I don't know if it's ever happened to you where a friend that you had or even a family member that you've had, and now you're a little bit more estranged because of something other people have said. They've taken something that you've said, maybe, or they've taken something that you didn't even say, and they've spread it all around, and you've lost friendships because of it. Gossips break up friendships. It may be something simple when you're in middle school or high school or something like that. You had a secret crush, somebody that you really, really liked, and somebody that you hoped one day that you would be able to get to know a little bit better. But somehow you confided in someone and said, I have a crush on so-and-so. And they spread it around. And they've spread it around in such a fashion that you will never know, or that relationship will never grow, because it has been stopped in its tracks because of the betrayal and trust of a friend. Maybe you are addicted to something, and you confide in a trusted friend about your addiction in order to get help. But somebody shared something about that, and it got around. And in fact, it set you back because of the disappointment and because of how it was presented. It set you back on your recovery. Or maybe it's in your marriage. You confided in somebody about something that you were going through, and they just couldn't help themselves. And they told somebody else. And they told somebody else. And they told somebody else. And the thing just blew up in your face. Something that you were seeking help for because of the way people responded and acted, and it may even have been, I think we need to pray for. It blows up in your face, and you feel the pain of gossip. The second group is gossip hurts the listener, Proverbs 17:4. Wrongdoers perk up when listening to gossip. Now, I want to rephrase this, because I think this is what it really means, but I think in this language it may be a little bit confusing. It says, wrongdoers perk up when listening to gossip. Let me just change that a little bit and say that I think you could just as easily say, listening to gossip is wrong. Listening to gossip is wrong. And it hurts the person that is listening. And here's why. What you permit, you promote. What you permit, you promote. If they run down a friend, if they run down a family member, if they run down an acquaintance, and you say nothing at all, you are promoting what they're saying by your inaction. And the Bible is very clear. It is wrong to listen to gossip. So who does gossip hurt? It hurts the person it's spoken about. It hurts the listener. It also hurts the speaker. Proverbs 25:9. In the heat of an argument, don't betray confidence. Word is sure to get around, and no one will trust you. Here's what happens with a gossip, and I know this to be actually absolutely true. If you are a gossip, people will listen. Because there's something about gossip that they just, their ears perk up. But if you are the one gossiping, I can guarantee you one thing. No one is looking at you and saying, man, I wish I was like that. I wish I was like them. In fact, there are a couple of things that they're probably saying. And number one would be, I wonder what they say about me when I'm not around. And they also wonder, I better be careful what I say because it just might get out and around. And so we're cautious because of it. No one looks at them and says, boy, are you ever great. When you talk badly about people who you are not around, it says a whole lot more about you than the person you're speaking about. Now, I want to show you a little clip because it demonstrates the pain of gossip. But I need to set it up just a little bit. Number one, it's set on the theme of Halloween. For those of you that have a thing with Halloween, understand this. It is not supporting Halloween. It's focused around Halloween because of the particular pain that this young boy goes through. And it's this. He was born with a genetic defect. And what it has done, it has deformed his face. And he goes through a very difficult time. He goes to a school for the very first time in grade 5, and he had a very difficult time making friends because of the way his face looked. And so for him, Halloween was the best day of the year because he could go to school with a mask on.
I don't care what Jack Will says about Christmas.
I was looking in the lab.
Hey, party!
A light when my eyes began.
For me, Halloween is the best holiday in the world. It's so awesome. When I'm wearing a costume, I usually walk with my head down to avoid being seen. But on Halloween, I walk with my head up high.
He did the match.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the match.
He did the monster mash.
I don't even know who that was. He didn't even know who I was. It's so cool, especially because people don't like to touch me. Because they think I'm contagious. Oh yeah, Chewie, up high. Boom goes the dynamite.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
It really does look like him.
That's about right.
Yeah.
And he's always reminded me of, like, a shrunken head, you know?
Oh. Or an orc.
Yeah. If I looked like him, I'd swear I'd put a hood over my head.
Yeah. If I look like him, I think I'd kill myself.
Why do you hang out with him so much, Jack?
Yeah. I don't know. Tushman asked me to be his welcome buddy, and now he just follows me around everywhere.
Well, that must stink. That must stink.
Oh, yeah, just like it.
Come on, get ready. It's almost time for the Halloween parade.
You're supposed to knock. Go away!
Mom says you won't say what happened. Did someone say something?
Someone always says something!
Well, tell me what happened.
It's none of your business!
You took my day with Mom, so it is my business.
I heard Jack Will talking about me behind my back. He said he'd kill himself if he looked like me.
Jack Will? Isn't he the nice one?
There are no nice ones! I wish I'd never gone to school in the first place!
But you were liking school. I know you were.
I hate it, okay? I hate it!
Augie, I'm sorry, but you're not the only one who has bad days.
Bad days? Do people avoid touching you? When a person accidentally touches you, do they call it the plague?
No.
Jack Will is all I had. Just don't compare your bad days at school to mine, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if you can catch the pain that he went through. Jack happened to be the one friend that he had made in the school, and he was the one that said, if I looked like him, I would kill myself. And what you noticed is this, that he turned around to see, to make sure that he wasn't there. And because he had a mask, he didn't know it was him. And so he felt he was free to discuss it, to say it, to cut him down, to hurt him. And even though we don't always experience it, where the pain that people feel when they ultimately find out, the truth is gossip causes tremendous pain. It hurts the person it's spoken about. It hurts the listener. And it hurts the speaker. Those dainty little morsels actually hurt all of us, hurt everyone. So we can conclude this. We don't want to gossip. Amen? We don't want to gossip. So how do we do that? I have two things, very tactile, very practical things that we can do so that we do not participate in gossip. And the first one is this. Guard our ears. You know, there was an article in Psychology magazine that I read, and it said that you could stop gossip with one question. One question can stop it dead in its tracks, and it's this. Why are you telling me this? You know, you don't have to say, oh, you're an evil person, you're bad, why are you gossiping? Simply, why are you telling me this? It causes people to stop in their tracks, to reevaluate, and to think, yeah, why am I telling you this? And I know some of you right now may be saying, well, that's a little combative. That's a little too confrontational for me. Maybe if there's something else. So I want to give you another response that may be less confrontational, and it's this. Have you had a chance to ask the person about this? I don't have it in my notes, but I read it a number of years ago, probably a decade ago, and I thought this was really dramatic, okay? And, you know, I've tried it a couple of times, and I'll tell you what happens. Here's the thing. Somebody's gossiping to you, and I didn't think enough. I didn't know enough to be able to say, you know, why are you telling me this, or have you had a chance to talk to the person about this? But what I had read about a decade ago, caused me to say something which was really confrontational. And this is what I said. They were gossiping, or they were saying things to me, and I said, huh. And I grabbed her hand, and I said, let's go see if that's true. Do you know what happened? Every single time that happened, do you know what happened? No, maybe I misunderstood, or maybe I shouldn't have said that, forget I said it, all that sort of stuff. But you know what? That person never came back to say anything, ever. It put a stop to the gossip. So where does this amazing question come from? Well, it comes from chapter 18 of Matthew, maybe in a little bit different context, but it comes from Jesus himself where he says, if you have a problem with your brother or your sister, go privately and speak to the person who you have a problem with. There is no need to gossip. If we have something that we need to say and talk to somebody about, we should go back to the source and say, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. This is what Jesus taught us to do. And if we would follow this, we are actually encouraging people to become more like Jesus. But you know what happens? It's like we were afraid to say anything because we know a gossip has the potential to twist whatever we say and will be talked about. But I'm telling you, it is far better to follow the instruction of Jesus and help people become more Christ-like in their dealings with people. But you know, sometimes they just keep on gossiping, even if we do that. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. You know what that's saying? If you have a friend that is really a talker and says too much of the wrong stuff, the wisdom of Proverbs says this, if they won't stop after you've asked them to stop and they continue on and they're still talking too much, says avoid them. They can't be your best friend. Avoid them. Because they're dangerous. The second, you know, we can guard our ears. The second thing is this. We can close our mouth. I want to teach you a Bible verse today, and I want you to commit it to memory. I'll read it, and then I want you to read it with me, because it's so important. Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Read it with me. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. I don't care how old you are, this is good advice. It really is. Here's the thing. Gossip claims that I am strong because they are weak. Gossip gives me the permission to say, you have no fashion sense. You dress funny. Gossip says someone else's problems are more significant than my own problems. Gossip says if I can talk somebody about somebody else's addiction, I don't have to worry about my problem. If I can talk about somebody else's porn problem, I don't have to worry about whatever my problem is. If I can talk about somebody's marriage problems, then I don't have to worry about my marriage problems. And if I can just push somebody down far enough and step over them just a little bit, it just might make me feel a little better. Gossip claims that I am strong because they are weak. But the gospel proclaims, I am weak, but he is strong. When we recognize who we are, when we recognize whose we are, it puts an entirely different slant, an entirely different message on our entire life, and it begins to change our heart. We begin to understand and realize that I'm actually fearfully and wonderfully made, according to the Psalms. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'm God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship. People can say whatever they want on social media or behind your back, and the reality is that we are God's workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm doing something in your heart. No matter where you're at right now, I'm doing something in your heart, and never lose sight of that. Never lose sight of the fact that you, every single one of you, every single one of us, we were designed with a purpose in mind, and we are living out, or we are to live out, that purpose. And we are also to know that in the knowledge that in my very weakness, whatever they might gossip about, in my very weakness, he is strong. And that's how the heart becomes transformed. In fact, the apostle Paul says it very succinctly, I glory in my weakness because God is made strong. Imagine if we started approaching life like that. Somebody gossips about, and you know, we can go and say, you know, you may be right. Apart from what you're saying, you may be right. And I glory in my weakness because that's where God's working on me. That's where he's doing something for me. And our heart gets transformed. And when Jesus gets a hold of our heart, he also gets a hold of my big fat mouth. And my mouth starts to speak life over people. I start to speak truth and love. And I don't need to be better than you. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily. In other words, we need to get used to speaking life and truth over somebody else. And you never know, when you speak life and truth over somebody else, that may just be exactly what they need so that they can say, I can make it today. I can fall on Jesus and be transformed as well. What if, now here's the gossip I'm talking about. What if we got caught gossiping by encouraging somebody else? What if that's what we got caught? What if that church was known out? You know, we're known. Man, that is the most gossipy church ever, but their gossip is so positive, it's amazing. I thought that was a good point. Hey, did you hear what John said about you? No. What did John say about me? Well, he said he has never seen someone your age exercise and have the leadership gifts and the wisdom that you possess. That's good gossip. And you know what you get? Said, did he really say that? Do you know why we do that? You know, I can go to someone and I can say, I think you did a great job today. And that has a certain level of, oh, that's nice. But you know, if I went to somebody and I said, did you know what Jerry told me? And I said, what did Jerry tell you? Because the ears perk up when it's somebody else. Jerry told me that he was so blessed by the music today that he's still singing those songs right now. He was just so blessed. You know what? I can tell these guys they did a great job. And that'd be, okay, he's the pastor. He's got to say that. But you know, if one of you came and said, you know, I was out in the lobby, and do you know what I overheard somebody say? What? They said, you were amazing today. And I was blessed too. You were amazing because somebody else said it. You know, psychologically, it is far more important when you relay a message from somebody else. More important than even the message that you want to give yourself. Or how about, maybe it sounds like this. Did you hear what Rachel said about you? No, what did she say? She said the way that you serve other people, that it's caused her to realize that she needs to serve other people the way Jesus did. When she sees your example of Jesus, it just encourages her to be inspired to be more like Christ. What if we got caught, and what if we were known as the positive, gossiping, encouraging, uplifting church? That'd be wonderful. So I want you to get caught encouraging somebody. Please listen to this.
One day a young boy asked his father, what is the value of his life? Instead of answering, the father told his son to take this rock and go sell it at a market. If anybody asks the price, raise two fingers and don't say anything. The boy then went to the market, and a woman asked, how much is this rock? I want to put it in my garden. The boy didn't say anything and raised up two fingers, and the woman said, $2? I'll take it. And the boy went home and told his father, a woman wants to buy this rock for $2. The father then said, son, I want you to take this rock to a museum. If anybody wants to buy it, don't say a word and just put up two fingers. The boy then went to the museum, and a man wanted to buy the rock. The boy didn't say a word and just put up two fingers, and the man said, $200, I'll take it. The boy was shocked and went running home and told his father, a man wants to buy this rock for $200. His father then said, son, the last place I want you to take this rock is to a precious stone store. Show it to the owner, and don't say a word. And if he asks the price, just put up two fingers. The son then went to a precious stone store. He showed the rock to the owner. Where did you find this stone? It is one of the most rarest stones in the world. I must have it. How much would you sell it for? The boy put up two fingers, and the man said, I'll take it for $200,000. The boy, not knowing what to say, ran home to his father. Father, there's a man that wants to buy this stone for $200,000. His father then said, son, do you know the value of your life now? It matters where you decide to place yourself, the people you surround yourself with. You may have lived your whole life thinking that you were a $2 stone. You may have lived your whole life surrounded by people that saw your worth for only $2. But everybody has a diamond inside them. And we can choose to surround ourselves with people that see our value. And you can also choose to see the value in other people. You can help other people see the diamond inside of them. Choose the people you surround yourself wisely.
True message, but incomplete. $2, $200, $200,000. The message is true. It's who you surround yourself with. But I want to guarantee you one thing. If you go to Jesus and you ask, Lord, how much am I worth? He will say, you are priceless. You are absolutely priceless. There's no amount of money that I can place upon you because you are so valuable. You're so valuable that I came and I died for you so that you can have eternal life, so that you can be with me. That's how important we all are. Jesus loves us with an everlasting love, and every single one of us here don't deserve the negative gossip. Because we're children of the King. And He loves us with an everlasting love. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Because it truly transforms our hearts. And God, I pray that you would just help us to always have ears to hear and eyes to see that which you put in front of us so that we can use these words to speak life. And so, Lord, may you just impart this to us right now so that as we leave, as we go throughout this week, that we will speak words of life, words of encouragement, words of love to those people that we come in contact with because we all need it. And so thank you, Father, for the privilege of being your ambassadors with that message. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.